Welcome to Nevertheless, a show dedicated to organic leaders and leaderpreneurs. Today, you will discover how to discern your essence and live powerful.
Hi, this is Nevertheless, the show for organic leaders and leaderpreneurs. My name is Bidemi Makmodi. Always a great time to spend bringing this show your way.
Today we're continuing the conversations in the True North series, and from where we stopped last week on True North conversations. If you remembered when we started this series on the True North, we talked about the fact that the True North is your orienting place, the place of your stability. That place where no matter what happens to you, no matter where you go, no matter what you chance upon, you can always come back to and make sense of your life. And then we moved away from there and we moved into relationships, true not relationships, the importance of knowing the right kind of relationships, contracting the right kind of relationships so that we can get where we need to go on our journey, you know, into destiny. Last week, we identified some relationships that everyone would have to contract at some point or the other in their lives. We started with the what I call default relationships, the sibling relationship, the parent-child relationship. These relationships you don't choose, you find yourself roped into by reason of birth. And then we said that those relationships are known as default relationships. These are relationships that you came from the shop with. And because of that, they have, to a large extent, the capacity to shape our lives. But what it is that we're looking at is that when you begin to talk about true north relationships, you need to understand that you don't remain in the place of default relationships. So yes, it's great to have siblings who are best of friends. That siblings can be best of friends do not mean that they can be the greatest business partners that they are. So you need to look at how relevant, maybe skill and otherwise, or value-wise, how relevant someone is in your life before you give them a pride of place in relationships. One of the saddest things that can happen to a man is to remain encumbered by his default relationships. That is because you came out of the same womb or you grew up in the same house. Then these people become the defining relationships of your life. You never move outside the parameters of those relationships. You are stuck with them, which means that the sum total of who they are is who you become. So if, God forbid, they are all walking around in a blind daze, then automatically you begin to walk around in a blind daze. So why your siblings and your default relationships, let me use that. Why your default relationships are powerful, they are not supposed to be the most defining relationships in your life if they are not resourced to be. Now, I do understand that there are some sibling relationships or default relationships that are so powerful because the people, the individuals within that sibling relationship have gone on to develop themselves and become the kind of people that can help each other take a step up. But unfortunately, that's usually not what happens in every sibling case. So when you get into those relationships and you were born in the same house, so automatically they have a say and who you become and how you live your life. It's great, but if all of their contribution will not move you forward, or if all of their contribution will keep you stagnant, then you need to reevaluate those relationships. Another relationship that you need to be very careful about, we talked about it, is the marriage relationship. The choice of who you marry. A man is the sum total, or, you know, the success of a man to a large extent can be determined by the woman he marries. Just like a woman's entire life can crash in one day because of who they chose to marry. Now, unfortunately for most of us, these relationships, especially marital relationships, usually don't show up upfront with what they carry on the inside. So there is a need for you to do the work of discerning to be able to evaluate and assess whether someone is right for you. One thing that I tell young people, especially who are preparing to marry, to always do is to share your dreams with your would-be spouse or someone, or prospective spouse, I should say, and then watch their reactions and continually talk about where you want to go and listen to how they respond to you. Because even what people say in jest, as a matter of fact, what people say in jest is indicative a lot of times of what they think about you. So you need to be careful how you submit to relationships. Just because he looks tall and he's dark and he's handsome does not make him the right fit for your journey. I tell people that the only man on planet Earth that could marry me is the one I'm married to. Or let me say, the only kind of man is the kind of man I'm married to, because the kind of things I do. I remember a couple of years ago, people were actually calling him to make appointments with him, to ask him whether he needed his head examined because he was allowing me too many liberties. And so, because from the get-go, he knew that I had dreams and had always been open to the fact that I can dream as large as I want to dream. And if, as long as it's humanly possible, he would support me through those dreams. I am able to wake up any day and say to him, this is the next thing I want to do. And he doesn't say to me, stop, you are doing too much. Oh, stop this and that. I heard a story of someone who, a wife who was building, and her husband said to her, just out of envy, insisted that she sold the building. That what does she need to own a house for? And she was busy trying to explain to him that when their children do go to further their education, they will need all the resources they can find, and she would like to make a contribution. And he insisted that she sold the building. And the reason was simple. He didn't want her, in his mind, competing to say, I also have a building. And so those kinds of relationships have a way. If the woman wants to keep her marriage, then she needs to now align with things that keep her down and keep her on the same spot. I've also heard of men who are standing still because of the kind of woman that they married. So you need to be careful the kind of relationships that you submit yourself to, especially if you have been able to identify, and all of us are actually, that you are a person of destiny. I talked about covenant relationships, and I also talked about destiny relationships. When I come back, I'll show you the difference between a covenant relationship and a destiny relationship as we round off this particular talk on relationships when it comes to your true north. Please don't go away. I'll be right back.
Are you frustrated and tired of life? Do you feel trapped in life's maze and don't seem to find your way? Or are you passionate about your purpose and destiny and want to find out more? Then get a copy of DNA. DNA, Destiny Navigational Application, is a book written by Bidemi Makmodi, where she coaches you to distill the answer to the cry of purpose, mandate, and significance. She teaches you how to discern your essence, discover your God-given mandate, deploy power, and demonstrate dominion. Get a copy of Destiny Navigational Application from any bookstore near you or call 234-813-360-2883 or send an email to bidemi@bidemimakmodi.com to place your order now.
Welcome back. It's still the Nevertheless Show. My name is Bidemi Makmodi. Nevertheless is a show for organic leaders and leaderpreneurs. Our conversation today is around true north relationships. Relationships that take you where you need to go. Stabilizing relationships in your life. Relationships that help you to ensure that, or weight you properly to ensure that you get where you need to go. Relationships that you can rely on. Relationships that no matter what happens, you can come back to. Before the break, I was talking about default relationships, and then I went on to talk about marital relationships and why we must be careful. That because someone is born by the same parents does not mean that they are the voice you should listen to at a certain stage of your life. Just the same way, husband or your spouse will consistently speak into your life, whether male or female. You have to be careful the kind of person you submit yourself to marry, so that you don't hit that brick where, because of the kind of person you married, you are unable to dream and flex your muscles destiny wise. Before the break, I said that I'll distinguish for you or show you the difference between covenant relationships and destiny relationships in the context of the conversation we're having today. Now, covenant relationships are those relationships that are not necessarily planned. You chance upon them, but the individual or the individuals have something to contribute to your next stage in life. Or even maybe not your immediate next stage, but they have something in them that if you allow yourself to receive, you can utilize in the next relationship. This is destiny relationships I'm talking about. You can look at your teachers, for instance, you know, as you went to school. You know, when my children were growing up, and even now that two of them are in university, I still pray that the Lord will ensure that their tutors, their teachers, their lecturers are the people that He has chosen by Himself. Because what happens when you have those kind of relationships is, okay, I'll give you a story. When my daughter was younger, she was a bit dyslexic. And in her early primary school, that's between primary 1 and primary 3, she had teachers who understood the peculiarity of her situation. And so they were a lot more patient with her, and they would not talk down at her when she mixed up the alphabets. But she got to primary 4 and she had this teacher who was a nightmare. And this teacher, because my daughter was big for her age, this teacher would put my daughter in a corner and say things like this to her and say, "You are big for nothing. You don't know the difference between a B and a D." And she would yell at my daughter. And after a while, my daughter stopped wanting to go to school. So this was a defining moment. Because of that, my daughter clamped up, would not even attempt to read, and would not. It took a lot, first and foremost in praying, for her to come out of that. So we had that situation for about a term and a half, where this teacher just constantly beat down on my child. And I didn't even find out on time, because my daughter would come home and clam up and not say anything to me. Ultimately, one day, something happened and the lady had to lose her job. Had nothing to do with my daughter, by the way, but she lost her job because by then I had found out and we were praying. And this new teacher came. And it is instructive to note that this new teacher that came spent exactly a term and a half with my daughter. The difference this woman made in my daughter's life. She came, she just fell in love with this child, and she started to validate her. So when my daughter will mix up the alphabets, she will sit her down and they will have conversations about it. After school, she will show up in my house at no cost and run my daughter through some extra lessons, just trying to help her overcome that learning disability. By the time she left at the end of that session, my daughter had started to read. And by the time my daughter got into the next, by the time they were picking their next set of prefects, they picked my daughter as a library prefect. And from there, she went on to secondary school. She still had the challenge, but she had a bit of confidence now because of the way this other teacher had dealt with her. And ultimately, my daughter is in uni today and she's making all A's. Assuming nothing was done, there was no intervention of any kind, that first teacher in primary 4 would have become the reason why my daughter would probably hate education for all of her life. This is a personal story and I'm not making it up. I promise you, it happened. Teachers are covenant relationships. Some bosses are destiny relationships. I'm not saying that everybody you meet on the street is a destiny relationship. But there are some relationships that stand out because their voice over your life in that season can make and break you. And that is why when you come across those relationships, you should be discerning. And I'm talking to us as adults. As children, most of the time, we can't usually express ourselves to say, I recognize this is a destiny relationship or not. But as you grow, you know, you begin to look at it and you know, this person, there is a way when they say things to me. There is a way something happens. There is a way the other thing doesn't happen. There is a way it affects what I do positively. Or there is a way it affects what I do negatively. And those things can alter the trajectory of a person's life. Now, covenant relationships, on the other hand, are relationships that are thought through. Not necessarily entering a covenant by spilling blood and stuff like that. But relationships that are very intentional, you have control over them. You sit down, you have conversations, and you decide that going forward, these are the parameters based on which we will run our lives. I have a few covenant relationships. Actually, I have a ton of covenant relationships because by the time I recognized the power of relationships over my life, I started to be a lot more intentional about the people that I give my time and space into my life to. I started to look at the people that I dealt with, and I started to be a lot more careful about the people that I gave access. The key difference between a covenant relationship and a destiny relationship is a destiny relationship can just happen. Not because you planned it, but covenant relationships have to be planned. Because covenant relationships, the individuals within the parameters of that relationship have to set goals, they have to set objectives, they have to set a set code of conduct. To say, look, it doesn't matter what you do, I will never yell at you outside, for instance. It doesn't matter who comes to me to talk about you, I will never join forces with anyone to say anything negative about you until I've heard from you. Now, the question you want to ask me is, are all relationships not supposed to be like that? No. Now, if we go to the Bible and I show you a few examples, maybe you understand what I mean. The butler and the baker in Joseph's life when he was in prison are destiny relationships. They are not covenant relationships. Potiphar's wife was a destiny relationship. What does that tell you? It tells you that destiny relationships can either be positive or negative. That is the second difference between a destiny relationship and a covenant relationship. A covenant relationship just agrees that I will do you good. I will watch out for you. I will lay down my life for you if necessary. A destiny relationship, on the other hand, are those relationships that come into your life to push you into your destiny. Maybe someone, by ratting on you, you know, to the boss, moved you into a situation where it became so difficult that you had to resign. And upon resigning, you couldn't find another job for 3 months. And in the process, you were forced to look within you to say, okay, in this time that I don't have a job, what can I do? And that's how you chance upon a business. And before we know what is happening, in 10 years, you are a billionaire. Every day you think about that person who ratted you out regarding whatever, you will not exactly feel bad. You will be like, praise God, this person did this thing to me because that pushed me where I needed to go. So destiny relationships are not necessarily positive relationships, but they are relationships that are key. And someone who is headed somewhere and has mastered the art of relationships will recognize them when he sees them. There are people that no matter what they do to me today, I cannot be upset. I used to say to people, I said, the good, the bad, and the ugly, God can use it. And if you just, all you did was the bad, as long as the bad has brought me where I am today, thank you very much. It might have hurt when I was going through, but I'm grateful to God that you did what you did so that I could have moved to get to where I needed to get to. So those are destiny relationships. If I'll give you an example of a covenant relationship in the Bible, obviously you know that I'll pick the David and Jonathan example. But there are even other examples in the Bible that you will find that are covenant relationships where one person decides that I will watch over you, I will not do you harm, no matter what happens. And because of that, you see that people move forward just because they have a specific kind of person in their lives. So you need to know that there is a place for covenant relationships and there is a place for destiny relationships. Now, the trick in getting the best out of whatever kind of relationship is to recognize what it is and to identify it properly. If you have a covenant relationship of someone who is consistently rubbing you the wrong way, every time you see them, something in you wants to bath. Every time you come across them, there is something that just rises up inside of you. Some of us have parents, and because of the way those parents spoke to us, we made up our minds that we must be people of relevance. When you think about the fact that, I'm 18, he's talking to me like this. I'm 23, he's talking to me like this. I'm going to make sure that I do so well in life that they never have to speak to me like this again. Aside from being a default relationship, that has become a what? A destiny relationship. A relationship that because of the way they acted around you, they moved you to the right place that you ought to be. Some destiny relationships will take you out of town. And you get into a brand new town and you meet someone. And just because of the conversations you had with that person, you find yourself in situations that you would never have been able to get into. Those help. And before you know what is happening, you are moving forward. The point of this, of taking apart relationships and looking at them the way we are looking at them, is because no man is an island. Not one of us is able to do the things that God has called us to do by ourselves. We need other people. And because we need other people, we must be intentional enough to take a look at these people and know the kinds of people we should allow into our space. When I come back, I'll be showing you a few things that you can do to ensure that you take charge of your relationships and ensure that you don't let a covenant or a destiny relationship slip, and ensure that you give the right response or reactions to these relationships so that they can yield to you what they carry in their womb. Please don't go away. I'll be right back.
In a world filled with many fears and discouragements, life often becomes a burden. For those who know the way, life's just simple. Don't worry, you're not alone on this life's journey, as Bidemi shares powerful insights and principles from her everyday work and life experiences in her book, Nevertheless. Nevertheless is a book designed to encourage and equip you to face life with courage, hope, and determination. Get a copy of Nevertheless from a bookstore near you or call 234-813-360-2883. Or send an email to bidemi@bidemimacmody.com to place your order now. I guarantee you, you will make it nevertheless.
Welcome back. It's the Nevertheless Show. This is Bidemi Macmody. Today we're looking at the second installment of the True North relationships. And we're looking at covenant relationships, destiny relationships, default relationships, and all kinds of relationships. Before we went on the last break, what I did say was that when I come back, I will show you what you can do so that when you chance upon these relationships, you will know what to do with them. Before that, I did say that the biggest key to ensuring that you maximize your relationships is identification. You need to pray the spirit of recognition upon you. How do I know what this person is in my life? And I know that people say we can never always tell. Yes, I agreed. You may never be able to always tell what power someone brings or has over your life. But if you will just be careful enough, if you will not make your commitment too fast, if you take your time to think through, if you take your time to pray through, and if you take your time to watch these people, you'll be amazed that in this relationship, you know, ultimately you can tell because of the way they will speak to you, because of the way they act around you, because of the things they point you to, because of the value that you get each time you come around these people, you will quickly be able to identify what it is that they bring into your life, or what it is that they bring into your life, whether to move you forward or to keep you stagnant. So one of the first things you need to do is ask for the grace for recognition. I was listening to someone today and he said life is played by recognition. That in all of life, there's always a place, the right people, the right moment. And this whole conversation we're having about True North is about the right people right now. So how do you recognize the right person? In the case of a marital relationship, for instance, the reason why Mark was the person for me and would remain the person for me is because he's my biggest cheerleader. There is nothing that I do that intimidates him. He's not intimidated by my success. He's not intimidated by my failure. He's not scared that if I fail too hard, it will impact upon our lives. And he's not scared that if I succeed too much, it will impact upon us negatively. As a matter of fact, when we just got married, I didn't have a job for many years. And he had friends who said to him, "Don't you think your family needs two incomes?" And he always said to them, "We agreed that my wife will be home and take care of the children." And in that time, I didn't feel like he denied me of anything. Whatever he didn't give me was what he didn't have to give. He earned, I knew how much he earned. We shared whatever it is, resources we had together. We planned based on those resources together until the time I could get to work and I could begin to earn money. So for me, one of the things about him from the get-go was how he looked out for me. He consistently looked out for me, and he was not selfish. So people will say, but people pretend through all of those things. I think that if you are discerning enough, you would recognize the difference. No one is such a perfect or perfectly deceptive person at every point in time. I think the problem is we look at these people, we see the cracks, but because we're too blinded by love or something, and it's not love actually, you're too blinded by infatuation or maybe a desire or a dream that you have, we refuse to call this a spade a spade. So for me, that's one of the things. Another thing that you could still under recognition is how they speak about you when you are not there. How do they speak about you when you are not there? If you want to find out when you are not there, you say, how do I know when I'm not there? People will always tell you. There are people that have come into my life, and the only reason why I didn't give them the access was when I'm not there, they have a way of not exactly running me down, shrugging through things that they should have stood up for me concerning. And so I don't need a soothsayer to tell me that the more access they have, the more incarcerants they become in my life. So you need to take your recognition and your power of discernment up a notch so that you don't find yourself tied into the wrong kinds of relationship. The second thing that I want to talk about is when you do find relationships of this kind, whether they are destiny relationships or covenant relationships, even if they are default relationships that are also destiny or covenant relationships, honor them. Honor is one thing that is missing all around time. In this generation, I should say, honor is missing. Someone gives you access and then you decide there are no boundaries. I will never forget one day I was in my room. It wasn't more than 8:30 a.m. in the morning. And the next thing, I heard my bedroom door open and this young lady just walked in and sat on my bed and started to cry right in my bedroom. She came into the house. Someone let her in because they know she has access. She comes into our house. She didn't wait for anyone to say to me upstairs that she was around. She just came all the way up, plucked on my bed and started to cry. What was the problem? Somebody that didn't even know her name had died, and she decided she wanted to mourn the person, and she came in. I took a look at her and I said, go downstairs first. Because I didn't understand why she would just barge in. There are boundaries. There are boundaries. I have ladies who are my chummies, they are my sisters. You know one thing I would never do? I will never talk to their husbands behind them. I mean, it doesn't matter. Before I will call their husbands for anything, I will say to them, I want to call Oga, is it okay? And even when the men call me for conversations, I always make sure I relay it to their wives. It's honor. It's not because I'm afraid of them. It's not because there is anything to hide or something. But it's just that I need them to know that my relationship is above and beyond reproach, where the things that concern them are, where their lives and their relationships are concerned. Another thing that I see, still talking about honor, is to respect the relationships that your people contract. What does that mean? I've been in a situation where someone comes into my life, I give the person access, and the person begins to use me as a ladder into every of my relationships. There are people in my life that I haven't escalated the relationship to the extent that I go to their homes. The next thing, the one that I introduced to them, I will hear that she's gone to visit them. That is very dishonoring. Up to tomorrow, when I go to the United States, I always land in Dallas first. Why do I always land in Dallas first? I always land in Texas first because my coach lives there. Wherever I'm going to go after that, I go to Dallas first. If someone did ask me to come and speak, I channel it through her first. Why do I do that? I do that because she's my first leg in that place. She's my covenant relationship in that place. And I will do nothing to even give off the vibe that she's not important in my decision-making process when it comes to the United States. And it's all over the place like that. You cannot say you are contracting destiny or covenant relationships and you treat them shabby. Another thing that you can do, and this is to nurture your relationships. You know, one of the greatest misfortunes of this generation is that we don't know how to nurture anything. People come into your lives, they come in as mentors, they come in as pastors, they come in as bosses that have become big brothers and sisters. And all you do is take from them, you never give anything back to them. Very wrong. Nurture your relationship. People say, well, they have a lot of money. What can I give them that will make a difference? You don't give because it makes a difference. You give because that is who you are. You give because you want them to know that you're thinking about them. You give because it is your way of saying I value you. Now, I know you sit there and say, but my love language isn't gift giving. Really? What does that even mean? It doesn't mean anything. The only way you can truly, 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 truly regard people is to be there when they need you. Buy, give them gifts. And it doesn't have to be anything expensive. Go and buy a pen. And just say, oh, I saw this pen and I remember that you like to collect pens. And I said, let me bring this for you. It doesn't have to be expensive. My husband has a habit of collecting hotel pens. You know, hotel pens are the cheapest of pens you can find, right? But he has a habit of collecting them. So even when I travel alone and I stay in a hotel, what I do is every pen I know, if those ones they put by the bedside, I usually pack them like it's a special gift and I bring them home for him because it is something he likes to do. Show up when they are celebrating and show up when they hurt. Some of us only show up. We say people are our destiny relationships. We say they are our covenant relationships. We only show up when they are celebrating. When they hurt, when there is mourning in the mix, you don't show up. When you have to inconvenience yourself and travel to go visit them, you don't go there. You stay. And then you send a message. No. Now, some others of us have covenant relationships and we nurture these relationships by money. And may I say that can be wrong sometimes. Because sometimes your covenant relationship just wants you in the room, not your money, not your dollar, not your naira. Money doesn't solve every problem. So there are sometimes, what that means is that you must understand your relationship and be discerning enough at each time to know what it is that you want or what is required and what isn't required. If you are in a covenant relationship with me, or let's say you are in a destiny relationship with me and I lose my father, please show up. Because at that critical stage of my life, what I want is someone I trust to be able to just break down and cry in front of. Yes, maybe I need money to bury, but make the effort and show up as well. These things are important. If my daughter is getting married, not because it's any big deal, show up. That's the way relationships are nurtured. If you want to have a relationship that will help your journey become better and will help you thrive, then you need to continuously put something in the ground. The poorest of us, and I use the word poorest with air quotes, because none of us is truly poor, because all of us are rich. We're just not rich in the same thing. The poorest of us, air quotes, is rich in something. So you can never be in a relationship where you say, I don't have something to give. I made up my mind that I will not do more than 2 episodes on relationships, even though someone is already thinking we need to do a third one. I'm not going to do a third one. This is all we can take on relationships, true not relationships. We looked at default relationships. We looked at covenant relationships. We looked at destiny relationships. We looked at the place of siblings in our lives, the place of parents in our lives. You know, all of those things, the people you meet on a daily basis, some colleagues end up becoming covenant relationships. Some colleagues end up becoming destiny relationships. There are people who you meet and their sole responsibility in your life is to open doors for you to walk through. These are destiny relationships and you need to know what they look like so that you don't mess them up. I know I haven't given you all the answers, but at least I hope I've gotten you thinking. You need to sit down and do a list of all your relationships. Some of them are not even worth calling relationships. Mark a big fat X around their names. Limit access you give them so that you make room for other relationships. Why am I saying this? Because for some of us today, covenant relationships are hovering. Destiny relationships are hovering. But we are stuck with default relationships. The one we went to primary school with, who is not going anywhere, but comes every morning and plucks down your house from morning to night, does nothing, adds no value, takes from you, and tomorrow repeats the exact same process. The people who could have come to move you to the next level are not showing up because every time they look across the fence, your hands are full with relationships that are not going anywhere. I know this sounds cold. I know you'll be thinking, is she this clinical in her relationships? If you are getting as close to 50 as I'm getting, you have to be clinical about your relationships. life is not free for all. As young as 5 years old, when my child would say to me, mommy, that's my best friend. As maybe I went to pick them up in school and they said, oh, mommy, that's my best friend. We have a conversation in the car. I make them define to me what a best friend means. And I explain to them that just because you are in the same class does not make you a best friend with anyone. I've also had a situation where my son, I think at about age 7, really liked this young man. They were friends. They were about almost the same age. And one day that one blotted out and said, I'm not your friend. Such and such and such person is my friend. And my son started to weep. And I called him and I said, look, you see, here's the thing about friendship and relationships. People choose who they want. And if this one didn't choose you, it doesn't mean that nobody else will choose you. And you have to make peace with it. It's nothing to cry about. So if I can tell a 7-year-old to be clinical like that in how, you know, he forges relationships so that he's not third wheel in a relationship that does not want him, how can you tell me as an adult, as old as I am, that I'm being too clinical? Clinical I shall be, because I'm on a journey somewhere. And I want to trust that you're on a journey somewhere as well. So take a look at your relationships again. Do a relationship audit. Because the things that are holding you down right now are probably the people that are surrounding you. Thank you so much for joining me on the show today. I'll see you next week for another episode in the True North series. Remember that there is a power in you. If you would just embrace it, you would live a powerful life. God bless you. I'll see you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Nevertheless. For more information and resources, call 0813-360-2883 or send an email to bidemi@bidemimacmody.com. Don't forget that when you discover your purpose, you will live powerful.